Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Oh, boy.
Fumble! Oh! Come on! One, two, let's go!
Joe! No can do, cowboy.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Were the commercials more entertaining than the game last night? About to find out with Brian Steinberg of Variety, former classmate of Paul's. College. The college years of Paul Kuharsky.
The graduate school year.
Saved by the Bell, the college years. Paul Kuharsky edition.
How are we doing, Brian? Happy to have the annual visit.
Always happy to be here. Thanks, guys.
Enjoyed the piece, which we will tweet out. I know you watched all of these multiple times. NFL 100 commercial, obvious, incredible home run. 3 days they got all of these guys out there to film a Peter Berg-directed spot. Did you know that was coming?
Yeah, that one we were aware of. And I think, you know, there were a couple of ones that were, I think, had some more ambition and a lot more work put behind them that took some doing. So, yeah, a couple of these things really went for the heartstrings.
I like the Mercedes one. You wrote about how much technology driven a lot of these spots were. I like the Mercedes one where the guy was walking around asking things to happen, and everything he wanted to happen happened as he got in his Mercedes, where the same thing was about to unfold. What did you think the best tech ones were?
Well, I think there were a lot of robots last night who seemed to have a lot of problems being made to be hurt human servants. There was one from the Pringles commercial where they started lamenting, you know, it was like, I guess like an Alexa type device, started lamenting how it couldn't taste the potato chips and it had no soul and it was told to go play Funky Town by Lips Incorporated. That's pretty funny. It's just like a lot of new technology came popping up, and not all of it was happy and sunny kind of stuff.
Brian, you wrote about the balance between the politically serious, tear-jerking type spots at times and the fun, outlandish, celebrity-driven spots. What did you think about the ratio of those two and where that has kind of shifted in the last couple of years?
I feel like the last year or two, Madison Avenue was backing off political commercials. They polarize, they alienate, they only speak to, you know, one side or the other, and no one agrees on them. So they seem to be backing away from them quite a bit. The only thing I saw last night was a couple from Google and one from Coca-Cola in the pregame that kind of stressed unity and, you know, being together. But I didn't see a lot of those during the game. More of the ones in the game were about products, about new products, new ideas, and new concepts for sale. They were really trying to sell stuff, not sell issues.
What do you think about Google's efforts? That was one that really tried to tug at the emotional. And I really enjoyed the John Krasinski voiced spot with all the military members and the different codes that they have. What did you think overall about Google?
I liked them, but I thought if you're at a party or you're kind of in the back of the room, they weren't the most easy to understand. I think a lot of care went into them, but I think maybe they were delivered in a quieter moment, maybe in a series finale or something like that. They have more impact. I'm not sure people on their fourth beer would quite get what was going on.
Well, and you have the ones that have a consistent theme throughout the night, but a different spot. T-Mobile was one of those, with the funny text message exchanges throughout the evening. Did you think they hit with that one or missed?
I thought it was a hit. I thought everyone's had those conversations. I don't know where they got the ideas from. Maybe they had their own executives contribute things they've done on the phone. But everyone talks to each other that way these days. And then you can read it yourself on a big screen. You can all read it for yourself. I thought it made a lot of sense. I thought it was played right to, you know, current culture.
Brian Steinberg of Variety with us. You can follow him on Twitter at Brysty.
What does the Big Lebowski and Sex in the City have to do with each other?
Yeah, this is an ad I thought they made a big mistake on strategically. This thing they put out a week ago, I thought if no one knew about it and just saw it for the first time during the game, you would have gotten a lot more excited about it. Everyone knew it was coming. But yeah, I guess some place in New York there's a restaurant where old TV characters meet for a beer, and that's what you saw. I don't know where it's located. I don't know where it is, but I guess there must be somewhere around here where I guess, you know, Hawkeye from Pierce from MASH and you know, whoever else from some other show are hanging out having beers now.
I'll explain that spot to you after this.
Thank you.
If you missed the point of that one. Movies, television shows. This is typically the sort of breaking ground for a lot of big trailers that are out there. I didn't feel like I saw as many, and they weren't as impactful last night. What jumped out to you?
Well, you're absolutely correct. You saw fewer movie trailers. In fact, I know for a fact CBS had fewer movie advertising run. You saw a lot of stuff, I guess, pregame and postgame, where Disney did stuff for the Avengers and for Toy Story 4. It's cheaper run ads there. It's more expensive in the game. What you saw a lot last night were trailers from Amazon, CBS, Netflix, and even HBO as part of that Budweiser commercial. So the hot thing is streaming video. I think, and so you're seeing much more money being put into, like, you know, getting people to subscribe to Netflix and Amazon than you are to see the next big theatrical release coming out.
One strategy that was interesting to me was Amazon with this new show Hannah, where they put it out there for 24 hours. They said you have 24 hours to watch the first episode, but the series drops in March. I thought that was an interesting way to go about it. I was interested in the show, but I got to be honest, I'm probably not going to make the time limitation.
It's not
by
enough.
The show.
I need it at least through tonight.
You needed more time to watch. Yeah.
You probably need 2 weeks to really, really make sure you get it. You get time to watch it. But yeah, this is the new thing. This is the new hot competition. It's getting everyone to sign up to these new streaming services. It's the way everyone's going to watch TV, you know, now, if not 5 years from now. And these companies, you have, you know, don't forget, you have AT&T getting into the business later this year. You have Disney launching one this year. You have NBC Universal getting into 2020. This is a really hot place to be. And I think everyone's trying to get everyone, all consumers, to join their service, not somebody else's. So whatever you can do to make that happen, whether it be a sneak preview or a discount price, you're going to see a lot more of this stuff launch over the next year or so, I suspect.
Lots of celebrity cameos in last night's spots, Brian. Which one was your favorite, even if it was a voiceover?
I had to go with Charlie Sheen.
That was good.
I thought the line, the planner's ad, just made you want to hang around a little while longer. He made fun of himself. I actually interviewed him last week. It turns out they hadn't planned to use him. They had planned to use just a day player. And someone got the idea. They called him up. They called his publicist or someone. They found him. He went down there and knocked it out. And I guess it worked out pretty well for everybody.
What'd you think of the impact level of the Washington Post spot? And obviously they paid some primo real estate there. That's 2 minute warning, I think.
That was hugely expensive. I know they were kind of a last minute advertiser. I don't think they hadn't planned on being there initially. I'm going to bet since they are not a big TV, national TV buyer, they probably paid full freight for that commercial, unless Amazon, which as you know is run by Jeff Bezos, who owns the Post, got some kind of good deal for them. Very expensive, and I think a great message to hear in these times, and they probably made some kind of impact, but they probably would have had more if they had been in the first half.
Brian, are the corn producers of America the big winners here, that we're talking about them today, and they didn't spend a dime on an ad because of their rebuttal to Bud Light hyping up that they don't have corn syrup in their beer?
I think there are a lot of people who got a lot of publicity last night. They weren't supposed to get it. I thought Budweiser put a light on Miller and Coors out of nowhere. Pepsi gave a nod to Coke for no good reason, and then, these corn syrup growers. You know, when you run a Super Bowl ad, you should talk about yourself, not about somebody else. This is valuable time. This is expensive time. Why waste your 30 seconds by giving people a nod to a competitor or a rival or someone who you don't believe in? Why not talk about yourself and what you stand for?
Really good piece in Variety. Super Bowl ad review. Viewers get glance at Freaky Future by Brian Steinberg. Old dear friend of mine from Columbia Journalism School. We will tweet it out. You should read it. We visit with him annually the day after the Super Bowl. Good catching up with you, pal.
Always appreciate it. It's good talking to you guys.